Welcome. We are Dave and Cece Roberts, and on this podcast, our desire is to connect our community through conversations about following Jesus by sharing our stories.
Stories are powerful because they can inspire, encourage, challenge, and connect, and we hope this story does just that. So as you listen, if there's something that resonates with you, send an email to the person sharing their story, which you'll be able to find in the show description.
We want to come together and hear stories and tell stories, people's stories of encountering Jesus, people's stories about how they've been transformed by Jesus. And as I was sharing this idea with somebody, they said, why don't you start with your story and Cece's story? And so that's where we would like to start. Cece, I would love to hear your story, to have you share your story. Talk to me and us about what it was like to grow up in your home in regards to a relationship with Jesus. What place did Jesus have in your family? What was it like? What was the spiritual climate of your family growing up?
I had a really thriving experience with faith from the time I was a young girl. My grandfather used to lead prayer meetings at his house in Kalamazoo. And on Friday nights, what our family did is drove an hour and a half to Kalamazoo. And my mom and dad would sit in the prayer meeting, which they would worship. They would get into the word. And then the kids would play, like I would play with my cousins. And then at home, we would also have prayer meetings on Tuesday. And if you needed prayer for something, you know, the whole family would come around and like lay their hands on you and pray for you, you know, for healing and for comfort. And grew up in the church. I would say the churches we attended when I was a kid lean more charismatic, I would say. For a period of years, we did house church with three other families. And so we met together every Sunday, and my dad and the other two dads would take turn kind of leading that. And so it was a real interactive, thriving relationship with Jesus. We were not perfect by any means, but I asked Jesus into my heart when I was 11. And it was something I remember just thinking about in my little 9, 10, 11-year-old mind, you know, just how does that work? And I still remember that experience of sitting with my mom and dad on our screened-in porch, asking Jesus into my heart. I also received the gift of tongues. I also received baptism of the Holy Spirit and practiced that a lot when I was a kid. That was a really great tool in life. Going through school, encountering situations where you could just kind of have this prayer language to like work stuff out with the Lord in a prayerful way. I went to a Christian college, but I would say my college faith was a little weak. I did attend chapel and I loved that, but I also loved this other world that college provided. And so very much dipped a toe into that, always in my heart knowing, you know, who I was. But, you know, I experienced that a little bit, and then was single for a couple of years after college and attending church with my family, and you and I met.
Yeah. So I'm curious, you know, before I get to my story and sharing a little bit of that, what role do you think, if you can go back to your 11-year-old mind, what role did your family play in going to those prayer meetings, having a very active faith in the home? What role did that play maybe in the Lord working in your heart?
It was everything. I mean, I saw it first and foremost in my grandfather, in my aunts and my uncles, in my own mom and dad. This story I tell every year on my radio shows about my dad on his birthday. He would wake up every morning, get a glass of orange juice and his Bible, and he started out every day in the Word. I could almost kind of cry talking about that because I see you do the exact same thing. Not with orange juice, but you know, you're in the Word every single day. And it just brings me so much comfort because I knew it's not like my dad walked around and it's like, you need to be in the Word every day. But it's very much something that he showed with his actions.
Which is a pretty incredible testimony. Your dad was very active in his faith. Your family, your grandfather, very active in their faith. It wasn't, hey, I'm going to go to this gathering or this gathering. But if something happened, put something in the middle and pray and expect God to move in some way, shape, or form. And so it's a very active faith. So how...
Which is interesting because my dad was an atheist. When he and my mom got married, he was not a believer. And my mom does not recommend that you marry an unbeliever. He did have a radical transformation. And one of the stories he tells is sitting with these, you know, records and things. And he's like, anything that doesn't glorify God, I'm going to put in the trash. And he's like, I was left with like nothing, you know. And so he from that moment really was transformed and really was a wonderful godly example.
Yeah. And you talked about your college years. Mm-hmm. But even before that in high school, go from 11 years old to your high school years. Yeah, there were times and ups mm-hmm. and downs, but you had a very active faith. You talk about praying for your friends and what happened as you were praying for your friends and you had your own prayer closet and you had a very active faith.
I remember specifically leading one friend to the Lord, and I prayed for this friend for, I think, 2 years, and I had a crush on him, so I think my motivation was maybe not the most pure, but, you know, he did come to the Lord. He's a Christian to this day. We're still friends. And I also did struggle. It's interesting. Those years, I did struggle with doubt, and I struggled with self-esteem issues and not feeling good enough, and I don't really connect to those feelings as an adult, but I wasn't really the happiest kid. So I don't want to make it sound like everything was sunshine and rainbows and, you know, Bible studies. Because I walked through some, you know, really tough emotional things. But the Lord, like, I don't know, brought me through it into who I am today. But
isn't that true of a lot of life? You can be really engaged in a certain part of your walk with Jesus, mm-hmm. but then also struggling in another part.
Yeah.
And I think you can wrestle with both. And you're praying for friends and you're seeing God do some things, but you're also maybe struggling with who you are in Christ. And it's a journey mm-hmm. that we're all on. And maybe now today, I'm not saying this is the case, but you know, you could be strong in your identity in Christ, but maybe lose a little bit of the action and praying for people.
I would say, if I'm going to be 100% transparent, I was never closer with the Lord as I was during those teenage years when I was really lonely. And sometimes, like, I felt like Jesus was really my only friend kind of thing. Yeah. We were also quite close with the Lord when we lost our oldest daughter. That was a time of a lot of worship and prayer and really tight connection with Jesus. But it's interesting because I would say now, you and I have been married 20 years. We've had, well, 5 children, you know, 4 with us on this earth. And things are just, like, really good. And that intimacy with Jesus is almost like harder to come by. Mm. Does that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. It's when you're in the valley, when you're in the struggles of life, you cry out to him and more, and there's a hunger and a desperation. And I remember that time, and we'll get maybe more into this later, but remember that time when we were going through the situation with Grace. And you never want to go through it again. You never want to experience that. But there was a closeness with the Lord that came out of that time that... it just was beautiful.
You and I were married less than a year, and we found out we were expecting. That was unexpected to us. And we went to the first ultrasound, and we were so excited. And the doctor told us that our daughter Grace had issues that were incompatible with life. Like, talk about just a... Even now, I could...
That phrase is the worst.
That phrase is the worst. Such desperate times. You just need Jesus. So you need Jesus for your next breath, you know, when you're walking through something like that. But I think, though, our faith, and I want to hear your story of faith as a child, because we didn't find it the day before the tragedy happened. Praise God. Yeah. You know, you had walked through some things and you had like a relationship with Jesus, a two-way relationship with him, that you can take your deepest, saddest, most awful hurt and like know in a sense he's going to carry it.
Yeah. And some people find their faith in Jesus in the midst of a tragedy.
That's
and
a good point.
It comes just smacking right into their face. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't our case.
Yeah.
We relied on our faith in the midst of that time. And so in the midst of darkness, in the midst of walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we went back to what we knew in our hearts to be true. And that was our relationship with Jesus and worshiping him and all of that. And, you know, so for me, my story is different than yours. You know, everybody has a different story. Growing up, my family did not go to church. I do remember being baptized. I don't remember, but I remember my parents telling me I was baptized in the church as an infant. However, For many years, our family did not go on a Sunday morning. And I remember watching football on a Sunday morning, and just that was what we did. And all throughout my childhood, though, I went to a Christian school. In fourth grade, I transitioned to a new Christian school. And this Christian school was connected to a church in the area. And it was during that time, fourth, fifth grade-ish maybe, that my parents, specifically my dad, got connected with this church. And we started going to this church on a Sunday night. And even before that, we would attend some services at a church locally, a congregational church. But my dad started going every night or every Sunday night to this church. And that's when we started to participate more in a church gathering. But really what the Lord was doing in my heart at that time, I was starting to go into middle school. And I remember specifically the sixth grade year, I would spend every night kind of reading a little bit of my Bible before I went to bed. It's kind of a habit that I just got into in sixth grade. And I remember my sixth grade year reading about Jesus, knowing that I have to make him the Lord of my life and put my faith in him and confess that I'm a sinner and need him and trust in him alone for salvation. And so
all the catechism things,
all
right?
Of that. And so I remember praying that prayer to ask Jesus into my heart numerous times mm-hmm. during my sixth grade year.
Yeah.
And that was just a very... I chuckle about that a little bit right now, but also it was a very beautiful time mm-hmm. because the Lord was doing something in my life. And it was through school, through church, then we started attending that church regularly, through church, through going to Sunday school, that the Lord started to grow my faith. And eventually in high school, going to youth group was a big transformational time in my life. And I had this faith in Jesus throughout middle school and high school. It was active. I would spend time regularly just reading scripture a little bit at a time every day, 5 minutes or so a day at night before I went to bed. But also at that time, had this faith, loved the Lord, loved going to youth group, loved worshiping, loved going to camps, but then also wanting to fit in. And so if I was around the wrong group, I would just do whatever they were doing, mm-hmm. and I'd still get into trouble or whatever. And so there was this, man, I love the Lord, but also I wanted to be loved by the world, this push and pull.
I feel you.
And then I graduated in 92 and went to Calvin College. And in the first couple years, still attended church, but still lived in some ways very much like the world. And it wasn't until my junior year when I would say I asked Jesus into my heart, but he really became Lord of my life my junior year. And just
tell that story about that moment when kind of God met you in the mirror.
Yeah. And so I was getting ready to go out on a Friday night, and I remember brushing my teeth, looking at myself in the mirror. And I wasn't living this passionate life of following Jesus. And I looked at myself in the mirror and really felt the Holy Spirit speak to my heart and say, I have so much more for you than this. And I remember going back into my room, can still see the room right now, getting on my knees and just praying mm-hmm. and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't been living the life that you have wanted me to live. I've kind of wandered. And I just, you know, I'm coming back to you. And it was at that time that I really experienced and felt in a tangible way the love of God. And it's motivated me to have this life verse of Romans 8:38-39 that says that I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present nor the future, nor anything really in this world can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And so just the love of God became very, very real in my life. And at that time, too, I started to wrestle with, okay, what am I going to be doing with my life? I was an accounting major, and that
hilarious.
Was fine, and that was great. And but then also feeling a tug towards ministry and got connected with a youth group and just started to do that. And
you actually had a really great paying job in the accounting field, and you just kept feeling this tug toward ministry, and you really did give all of it up,
which was interesting because I had a good paying job at a good company here locally, and like the people that I worked with, but it was empty. And there, it's not that work is empty. Just to me,
correct.
It just wasn't satisfying. And I'm like, there's something more that I need to be doing. And so I left that job, cut my salary in half, and started working at as a youth pastor at a church in the north side of Holland. And I'm like, oh, we'll see if this works. We'll see what happens. And then have never looked back. And that was actually the time that you and I met a couple years into working there.
Well, it was really interesting because you talk about having this like empty feeling in your gut, like there's something more. I had that same thing. I graduated from Hope College and I never gave a thought to what I was going to be or what I was going to do. I really did think I was going to get married and have kids and stay at home. That's what my mom did. And I thought that's mm-hmm. awesome. And it is awesome. Mm-hmm. But like, I didn't meet anybody and marry at college. Yeah. So there I am. Well, I have some bills to pay. I better get a job. You know, so I had a series of jobs and I was relatively successful at those jobs. But I just felt like this thing stirring in my gut. Like, what is it I'm supposed to do? I remember I'm driving to my job one day and that particular job I didn't like. And I was like, Lord, what is it? Very clearly to me, radio came into my very, very clearly. And the next day, I called up this radio station. And funny, because you and I are recording this podcast in the, you know, same radio station. And I ended up getting a job a week later where I've been for 22 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is so remarkable. At the time that we met, I was actually doing what I feel God has called me to do with my life. Mm-hmm. And you were doing what God, you feel God has called you to do with your life. And I think, like, had we met a couple years before, probably wouldn't have worked out.
No.
But because we knew who we were,
yeah.
we knew what God has called us to, mm-hmm. It was a great fertile soil for a relationship to develop.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what's interesting is you and I met and we started dating. And then I remember coming over to your house, your parents' house, for one of the first times, and you're going back to your story. You guys were having a prayer meeting, and I laughed because your family was really excited that I was coming over for the prayer meeting yep. because I can play the guitar and I can sing, and your family doesn't play the guitar and can't sing.
We always listened to praise music back then on a tape, and so we would put the praise tapes in, and everybody would sing along. You know, there was no YouTube back then, and laptop computers and all that, so they were like, Dave, he plays the guitar, and he's... Like, you were just the worship leader in the yeah. family prayer meeting.
I was a family prayer meeting worship leader.
This is so weird. And what is this?
I remember coming in and playing a song. I don't remember what song it was, but starting, and we start singing, and I'm like, oh, okay, they love the Lord, but their tune is a little off.
Can't carry a tune in a
bucket.
But
what I experienced, I've been in numerous prayer meetings, but what I experienced for one of the first times at that prayer meeting was the very active faith that you had talked about. And reliance on the Holy Spirit and following the Spirit's leading. And it was actually beautiful because if something came up, if somebody had prayer for something or wanted prayer for something, mm-hmm. it was like, all right, let's put them in the middle of this group. Let's put them on the ottoman, sit there. The hot seat. And let's lay hands on them like we see in Scripture and let's pray.
Yeah.
And not just pray, but really expect God to show up in some way, shape, or form, whether it's a healing, whether it's a word, whether it's a prophecy, whatever the Lord would have. There was an expectation. And I realized at that time that there's more. I grew up in a wonderful tradition that was really all about communicating the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And this is what the Word says. And I think now more than ever, we need our lives planted on the Word of God
sure.
and the truth that is found in the Word of God. But there's something beautiful and powerful about the gift of the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
because we can see what the Word says. But then also the question is like, okay, how does God want to move today? And the Holy Spirit is that. Like the Holy Spirit is moving and active today and leads and guides today and is very present. And that's what I was introduced to with your family. Like, okay, love the Word, but then also in regards to the Holy Spirit, God wants to speak today.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being blown away by just some prophetic words that were given, some things that people prayed. And I'm like, wow, there God is here. You know, God was in other gatherings that I was a part of. But there's an expectation that God is going to show up in a very tangible way. Mm-hmm. And that sent me on a journey of really exploring more of who God is, specifically in regards to the Holy Spirit, and really was another huge step in my relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I remember something that I learned from you is that when we were growing up, on big holidays, we didn't go to church. Holidays were like the week off, and you would go to your cousins and, you know, you'd have a big meal and stuff. And so it would be, was it like Christmas Eve and you were like getting ready to go to church? We don't go to church on Christmas. We don't go extra, you know, not that we didn't love the Lord, but but you really have this like reverence really for church and for Sunday morning, and you don't elevate it, you know, it's higher than anything else. But I was like, oh, and we had to work that stuff out. We had to work out some of those different traditions we were both bringing to the table.
Yeah. Well, and that's really what I love about our family. You know, hearing a little bit of our stories, you grew up differently than I did, and not one is right and the other is wrong. They're just different.
Correct.
And we like are taking bits and pieces from both of our journey and both of our stories and saying like, oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. And really my passion, my biggest heart is like, I want to see the Vineyard Church, the founder of the Vineyard, John Wimber, had this as a book title. Had this as a big thing that he would say. He's on a quest for the radical middle.
Yeah.
And that's where I am. Like I'm on a quest for the radical middle, a perfect balance of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and living that out today.
You're glossing over it a little bit though, because we've been married for 20 years, and I think that we have landed on the radical middle for our family.
Sure.
But the first couple of years, it wasn't like, oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. Let's take the best from you and the best from me. I would think my way is right and yours is wrong. And you'd think my way is right and yours is wrong. So normal when you're first married, you know, your own perspective is the thing, right? And it's taken a lot of years and a lot of yielding and a lot of growing and a lot of understanding and a lot of acknowledging like, oh, they're both valuable. They're different from one another. What makes sense for us?
Well, and frankly, many conversations. You know, I think that's the key. Many conversations, many, you know, a lot of listenings, a lot of listening. Yeah, some fights, you know, too, but saying, oh, you know, this is a perspective that I haven't seen.
Yeah.
You know, and both of us saying that. And I think really that's what needs to happen more today. Is people talking with one another, listening to each other, and recognizing that there's something that they can learn from each other. And that's what I really appreciate about your family is you guys have taught me a ton about the Holy Spirit. And it's been a lot of conversations.
And I think really what I've learned from your perspective and your family is like this just loyal, just this, you know, faithfulness and, you know, the daily seeking and just super loyal to one another and, you know, loyal to their church and loyal to that body of believers. I mean, I could really learn a lot about loyalty from them.
Yeah, and I would agree. Every time I talk to my mom, she's bringing up stories about people in her community. And I think it's absolutely beautiful.
Well, her family doesn't live there and her church body, they are their friends and they treat them as family. And that is so beautiful.
That's their community.
Yeah.
I mean, those are people that she's known, that they've known for many, many years and have gone through life together.
Yeah.
And I actually think there's a lot of us that could learn from that.
Sure.
Because really in this age where we are craving like the newest and the latest and the greatest, and even within Christianity, let's go do this. This is the newest fad. This
Quick
is the newest
leave.
Thing. This is absolutely amazing. Yep. My parents have taught
us the
importance of steadfastness and loyalty and just being a part of the community, which is absolutely beautiful.
So you and I have been married 20 years. In fact, we just had a chance to celebrate our 20th anniversary. We had a nice 6-day trip to Florida. The sun shined every day. It was such a blessing. And it was a great time really for us to get filled up, for us to go into this phase that we're in right now in parenting. Our 4 kids, we have a really interesting year in this particular year in that we have a child in college, a child in high school, a child in middle school, and a child in elementary school. And we want to impart faithfulness and godly values into them as well.
Yeah, and look at their life and my prayer for their life, our prayer for their life. I just ultimately want them to love Jesus. And I really recognize that they are going to hopefully love Jesus, but follow him, and it's going to look differently than how it's looked for us. And really, it's going to be fun transitioning into that to see what does it look like for them to follow Jesus.
We have one kid who's very like head knowledge, right? and it reads her Bible a ton and is very intellectual in her discernment. And we've got another one who is, you know, spirit-led and just feels things really, really deeply. And then another one has such beautiful characteristics, really combining both of those things.
Yep.
And we're seeing some other stuff, you know, in our youngest. And so it's that molding and shaping and guiding.
Maybe
and
some
praying.
Of the crazy faith in the youngest. Who knows?
We'll go with that.
Yep.
No, he's awesome.
Yeah, but that's going to be the joy over the next couple years is to see their faith grow and develop. And I think that's what I hope and pray for is that they, kind of like we had to come to this conclusion. We had to come to this point where we made our faith our own.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents' faith can't save us. It has to be our faith in Jesus. And so now looking at our kids, you know, our faith can't save them. They have to come to that point. And seeing them live that out, and it's going to be different.
Yeah.
It's going to be a joy to watch. And coming alongside and not telling them exactly what to do, but just coaching them and counseling them and just walking alongside of them.
One thing that both of our families share that they both did a great job of is both households were a soft place to land. I remember being in college. I went to Hope my last 3 years, but I went to a different college my first year. And it was very of the world. And I got involved in some things that were of the world. And I felt very distant in my faith. And I remember calling my mom, just kind of freaking out. And she's like, well, come home for the weekend, you know, get your tank filled back up. And that's what we're here for. And I did. And I just went back with a different perspective. Thankfully, ended up transferring and had a better experience in my later years of college. You had that too.
I had that as well. You know, my after my sophomore year, I think it was in college, was living here in Michigan and had an internship. But a month into the internship, it wasn't going well. And so I called my mom and dad and I said, hey, can I come home for a couple months before I have to come back to school in the fall? And they said, yeah, come on back.
Yeah.
Come on home. And it was a beautiful place to land. I worked at the place that my mom was working at, and it was a great job for a couple months. And it was a great place to get, you know, me back up on my feet and to be launched again to the world.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing, you know, that we want to be as a family too, is, you know, I've told our kids, you can fail, but I say it this way. I say, you really can't fail, because at the end of the day, if you try something and you land flat on your face, you have a wonderful environment to come back to.
Yeah.
And we'll patch you up, we'll walk alongside you, and then send you out again.
Yeah.
But then even as I think about our life too, we're approaching, you know, a new season, and I want to recapture kind of that active faith that you talked about.
Me too.
And to almost combine it with some wisdom that we have gleaned over the years.
Yeah.
To say, okay, there's some wisdom, there's some knowledge there, but then also I don't want to lose this active faith that is stepping out and still expecting God to move in an instant or to move over time.
Yeah, I want that too. And I think what I've experienced is that kind of thing comes in the uncomfortable changes of life. You know, if I look back as we've been talking, you know, every time like I got real uncomfortable, that's when my faith went real deep. And I just desperately clung to Jesus with everything I had. And we're kind of in that phase right now, too. We're desperately clinging to Jesus. And in a way, it feels great to live by faith. Scary, you know. But we know that Jesus is a soft place for us to land always, as we hope to be for our own children.